30 years ago, there took place in this country one of the most exciting political campaigns in American history. Abraham Lincoln, the candidate of the Republican Party, was elected President of the United States on November 6, 1860. A large book would not suffice to give the young student the full history of this campaign with the memorable events which followed during the next 6 months. It was the culmination of affairs which had taken place during the half-century before. It was the outburst of a storm which had been brewing for many long years. Wise statesmen of a former generation had foreseen, with mingled sorrow and dismay, just such a crisis in our country's history. The deep-seated cause, of which a long and costly war was the natural result, is a subject for earnest study in the connection with the formal history of the United States. It does not come within the scope of this book. As soon as the election of Lincoln was announced, men of extreme views at the South proceeded at once to carry out their threats of attempting to withdraw from the Union. 7 states seceded, at intervals more or less brief, from the Union and organized what was known as the Southern Confederacy. 4 states seceded later. The people at the North were amazed at the rapidity with which the organization against the national government established itself. The humiliating events of that dread winter of 1860-61 are a part of our history. The government at Washington stood as if paralyzed. The president was a weak old man and did not know what to do. Most of his cabinet officers were friendly to the South and took advantage of their official positions to allow the enemies of the country to take possession of the national stores, arms, arsenals, forts, and navy yards within the limits of the seceding states. The government did not even dare to send reinforcements to the forts along the southern seacoast, lest such action should precipitate a civil war. This weak and irresolute action gave the seceding states ample opportunity to prepare for the coming strife at the expense of the nation. This cost the country many millions of dollars and thousands of lives to regain during the next 4 years. Such, briefly, was the condition of the country when Abraham Lincoln, fearful of life, came to Washington in March 1861 and quietly took the reins of the government. How little could the good president, or even the wisest of his advisers, realize the overwhelming responsibility of his position? With the stirring events which followed, we are familiar. The story of how Major Anderson removed his little band of United States troops from Fort Moultrie to Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor for greater safety is a familiar one. Likewise, how the Confederates filed upon a vessel sent with supplies intended for it. And finally, after a severe bombardment, how they compelled the fort to surrender. Forbearance had ceased to be a virtue. It was seen even by the most timid and conservative that something must be done at once to assert the majesty and power of the national government. President Lincoln acted resolutely and promptly. On the 15th of April, 1861, he issued a proclamation calling out 75,000 militia for 3 months to suppress the rebellion. The people of the North answered promptly and vigorously to the dry and formal words of the proclamation. No one had suspected how deep in the heart of the people was the sentiment of patriotism. The lowering of the flag at Fort Sumter pierced the pride and the honor of the North to the quick. The morning and evening of a single day saw peace utterly laid aside and 20 millions of people filled with the spirit of war. The same scenes were at the same time occurring in the southern states. Even more fiery was the outbreak because the people were of more demonstrative natures. And thus it came to pass that 30 millions of people